Hallelujah. I'd like for you to turn to Genesis chapter 5. Praise God. What a privilege to be in the house of the Lord. A place set aside as a special place for God to meet at a special time. And His people can gather together. A place where He's promised He would do special things. The last part of Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Note this, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is, of course, we know as Jehovah. And that's a mighty name. It's a name above all names. It defines who He is, what He is. But let's go just a little bit further. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, isn't that neat? In the likeness of God, made He, God, him. Male and female created He them. I sure hope He can keep it straight. Male and female created He them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. So He called them man. And in the day that He created Adam and Eve, that's what He called them. Adam lived 130 years. And he begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. In the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years. You think you're getting old. And he begat sons and daughters. What I want you to note is that the age of Adam when he had Seth, when Seth was fathered, Adam was 130 years old. And then, after he begat Seth, was 800 years. And we find in verse 6, Seth lived 105 years and he had a son. So when Seth was 105 years old, he begat Enos. And we add that to the 130 years old whenever he came. And we find in verse 26 of chapter 4 that 235 years after Adam, man began to call upon God. What? 235 years before man really began to call upon God? We've got a problem, Houston. But nonetheless, man from his beginning, as soon as he sinned, he started forgetting God. And we find this same thing over and over and over. It is repeated probably as much as any single topic in the Scripture, and they forgot God. Even His own people, they forgot God. They prayed to God, God answered their prayers, and then they forgot God. So, 235 years, and man forgot God. Now, this is really important. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8 now. Romans chapter 8, or follow along on the screen. You know, every time we look at the Word of God is terrifically important. And, you know, sometimes I look back on messages and realize how important some of them are for the time in which we live at that time. And I would dare say, as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, there's never been a more important hour or day than this day. Amen. Pastor Mark has mentioned many a time about what we need to do while we're waiting. And I want to point out to you that what God wants us to do while we're waiting for Him to do something else, like maybe come back, is that we seek God. That we pray. I want to talk to you about praying. Talk to you about praying. It takes a couple hundred years for people that saw God face to face to go back to seeking God. And there is no substitute for seeking God. Okay? Every great move of God has been as a result of prayer. Every great move of God has been as a result of prayer. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, and we've talked a lot about, and we're going to talk a lot about, living in the spirit realm instead of the secular realm. And being led by the Spirit over and over and over. Scripture talks about being led by the Spirit, not by the flesh, not by the secular person, not by that natural man, but being led by the Spirit, capital S, very God Himself. And so in verse 26, it says, likewise the Spirit, capital S, God, in contrast to our spirit, okay, the spirit that we have when we're born, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses, areas where we can't handle. The Spirit helps us. Amen. He is called, in fact, the Helper. Mm-hmm. We can come boldly to the throne of God for help, assistance. The Spirit of God wants to assist us in the areas where we need assisting. Amen. Are you with me? And in case we don't think we do, okay, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Of course we don't know how to pray. We don't know tomorrow. We're not even too sure about this afternoon. We're not even really sure about yesterday. And so the Spirit wants to help us. You see, one of the works of Jesus was that the Spirit of God, very Spirit of very God, could dwell in us. When we give our lives to Jesus, we ask Him to forgive us. Yeah. And when we ask Him to forgive, repent of our sins and ask Him to forgive us, He said He will give us His Spirit. Yes. Now that's a gift of God, not of works. It comes with the package. Okay, what we do with it is up to us. Jesus made it so simple. He said, concerning His people, if you will ask, God will give you the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we have a helper with us all the time that will help us in any area that we have need of. So the Spirit helps us. And He says, in middle verse 26, the Spirit itself maketh intercession. The Spirit of God, prays for us, intercedes for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. So, the Spirit helps us, prays for us, makes intercession for us. And in verse 27, He searches the hearts. Now, He's not searching the hearts to find out, uh-oh, caught you that time. No, He's searching the hearts, knowing what God's trying to do. Now, I say the Spirit, I'm talking about that Spirit that lives in you. Okay? See, God is one God. There's only one God. God's Word says there's only one God. And God put His Spirit in us because we as human beings, we were made after the image of God. We are the only created being that has the Spirit of God in it. Okay? Fido doesn't. Okay? And you might think that little black kitty with the white stripe follows you someplace, or he's right out in the middle of the road, you know, and you think, wow, he must have known I was coming. No, he didn't. Okay, but Nothing of creation has the Spirit of God, God's Spirit. I'm not talking about the Spirit that brings life. Okay, I'm talking about His Spirit lives in humanity. He made man after His own image. And He made man a living soul. And so the Spirit of God lives in us, and that Spirit knows exactly what God is going to do. He knows what the future is. We don't know. I mean, He knows what the future is. But this is the working of the Spirit in us. And so, He knows what is the mind. He knows what His mind is. He knows what He's doing, like we read in Philippians. You know, it's His will and His good pleasure to work in us, to work out His will. He's trying to work His will in our lives, and He knows what He's doing. Okay? Because He makes intercession. The Spirit in you makes intercession for the saints, according to the will of God. That's why it says according to the will of God. Because that Spirit that deals with you, that Spirit that deals with me, knows exactly what God is doing. And so He works in us, trying to work out His will and His good pleasure. So the power of the Spirit in us is absolutely amazing. Go with me to the book of Revelation. We're going to look at some scriptures here for a few moments. Go to chapter 8 of Revelation. And in verse 3, he says, there was another angel came and stood at the altar. Okay, we're seeing into heaven, all right? Let me back up verse 1. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, a big round platter-like thing, maybe about yay wide. And he had this golden censer, and there was given to him much incense. What's the incense? Well, he's going to offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. So this altar is here, and the incense speaks of prayers. In fact, God calls it incense. And incense was important. We may take time to look at this just a moment for a little bit. About the sweet-smelling savor. Okay, we're involved in that, if you don't mind. Okay, so this is about the prayers of all saints. See that in the last sentence of verse 3? The smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints. See, when you pray, friend, heaven moves. When you pray, you've heard people say, well, my prayers don't go any higher than the roof. Sorry, they go beyond the universe. They go to heaven. Heaven's a big place, and it's a place where time does not dwell, and there is no limitation on heaven. And so your prayers go to the throne of God. And God is unlimited in about anything. Those prayers go to Him. And these angelic beings add to our prayers. The Spirit intercedes. The Spirit shows us how to pray here. If we will ask Him, we don't know how to pray as we should. And so the Spirit wants to guide you on how to pray. Okay, the Spirit of God wants to prompt you and show you how to pray. Now, one of the things about our prayer lives is sometimes in our praying we need to shut up and listen. And let Him speak to us. I mean, really speak to us. Listen to Him. See what He wants to say to you. And so, these prayers are added to. And it says in verse 4, the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, cast it into the earth, and there were voices thundering, lightning, and earthquakes, etc. Okay, now, all this happened because of the prayers of the saints. This is happening. There's going to be a judgment come upon the earth. Really, what it is, it's a conclusion of all this mess that we've had to put up with ever since Adam sinned. And so, everything is a disaster. And John said, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Well, we're getting close to that time right here in chapter 8 of Revelation. Go with me back just a few pages to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. And note in verse 18, Paul is closing out this church to Ephesus. And he tells them, praying all. Well, verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ah, the Spirit has a sword. That's capital S Spirit. The Holy Ghost in you. The great mystery of all time was Christ in us. Amen. Paul says to the same church, the great mystery revealed to us, the church age, or since the Spirit of God came down upon humanity on the day of Pentecost, the greatest mystery of that time is that Christ, the Spirit of Christ, lives in us. Okay? God lives in us. Amen. So now then, the sword of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, is the Word of God. You cannot walk in the Spirit without the Word of God. Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit is not just speaking in tongues. Praying in tongues, okay? Now, we pray in tongues. I believe in praying in tongues. Pray in tongues a lot. Okay? And so, that's not just it, though, see. We're not just talking about praying in tongues. We're talking about being led by the Spirit to show us how to pray. Okay? So, he says that praying always with all prayer and supplication, being led by the Spirit, okay, and watching thereunto. Watching is you're going to pay close attention to. It's a word that has to do with standing guard. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So our prayer life needs to include us praying for other people. See, in heaven, the prayers of the saints are going up to the very throne of God. And the prayers of the saints changes things on earth. Praying is not a small thing. Great moves of God. And great moves are not measured necessarily by the number of souls. I tell you what, one of your children or grandchildren give their heart to Jesus, that's a great move. That's okay. You have your own revival. Okay, so, but moves of God, things happening in the spirit realm come because of prayer. James says, we have not because we don't ask. You have not because you ask not. And so, Paul is telling this church, you know, pray. Pray, 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 pray. I want to challenge you this morning to pray. All right? And he says, watch with all perseverance and supplication. I mean, one of the number one things that Christians need to do is pray. But instead, the enemy has fooled us into making that a, Lord, bless this food and now lay me down to sleep. Well, if we were to pray for all saints, how would we pray? How do you pray? Do you pray? See, the move of God is based upon prayer. And often we don't even ask God how to pray. We just pray. Now, we know by the Scripture here, in the spirit realm, God knows how you should pray. God knows everything. But He's trying to interact with people. God is trying to interact with people. And so He tries to show us how He's trying to interact with us. And if we're not in the Word, which Jesus said His Word was Spirit and life. You can't separate the Word and the Spirit. And so, unless we're in the Word, we're going to get misled. Yes. I said misled. Yes. You're not going to be led by the Spirit. You're going to be led by your experiences. Yes. What you want, it's going to be that which satisfies the flesh. Okay? And you can recognize real quickly, my friend, that's from hell. Yes. Okay? It's from hell that tries to lead us to find satisfaction and joy and peace in the things of the natural man. Jesus said, going to send His Spirit so that we can have joy and peace. He wants you to be joyful. Well, if things of this planet, things of this earth, if things of this lifetime that you have a little maybe 70 years, maybe a few more, maybe a few less, doesn't really matter, but you don't have much time. But in that length of time, you get to choose which direction you want to go. You want to follow the things of the flesh, or you want to follow the things of the Spirit. So, we are to be praying, and consider this. I want to challenge you to pray. Okay, I want to challenge you to pray. Because the Spirit in us wants to pray. The Spirit prays. Okay, and lifts our prayers up into heaven. The Spirit is there lifting our prayers up. Okay, all heaven knows about these prayers. Sometimes a prayer. Sometimes angels are dispensed from heaven to help answer your prayers. And they're right there where it's happening. Okay? So, you're going to pray with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. I'm going to ask you something, folks. I'm just challenging you. I'm not getting on to you, okay? I'm maybe getting on to us. Okay, but how often do you pray for Sunday school classes? How often do you pray for Sunday school classes? Or have you ever prayed for Sunday school class? Or Sunday school teachers? Or for nursery kids? I tell you what, pray for these young mothers we have, that God will lead them and guide them. And they will take this little one and sing songs to them, you know, about loving Jesus and Jesus loving them, read scriptures to them. They can't understand that. You never know what the Spirit of God in them can comprehend. Amen. Don't underestimate the spirit realm, friend. Okay, so you have the Spirit. You have very God living in you that's yearning to pray. Desires to pray. Just can't only keep from praying. But what he wants to do most of all is to add to your prayers. And he can't add if you don't give him something besides zero. Amen. Okay? That's the move of God. When God wants to move, but he wants to do it by you praying. All right? So, I want to challenge you to pray. Pray about church. Don't just come to church. Come to church with an anticipation that you're going to hear from God. I never do hear from God. You're not listening. Okay, because God wants to talk to every person here. Every person. Every time you're here. And so, before you come to church, pray about children's church, about Sunday school. Pray about our adult class. Pray about worship time. You say, oh, the music's too loud. Oh, did you talk to him about it? God, this music is way too loud. Will you do something about it? And then you go home and you say something to your wife. Honey, was your instrument? What? Oh, wait a minute. I realize we both have a hearing problem here. Well, you see, he can turn down the music by adjusting your ears. But my point is, we need to be praying about these things.
Yes.
Don't gripe about a worship service you haven't prayed about.
Right.
Or anything else. Okay, now don't get quiet on me, okay? Because we know you're under conviction when you do. Okay, we have not because we work not. Or because we ask not. Now then, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to pray because prayer is it. I want to encourage you to pray more. I mean to pray more. You say, well, preacher, it's not how long you pray. Of course it's got something to do with how long you pray. You know, if you're going to pray 30 seconds, you're not going to get to pray for Sunday school, for children's church, for things here, for people coming to church and how God can use you in church or whatever. The church is a special place. Okay, but think about this, if you would, please. Let's say you've got a real difficult problem, and you're running out of money. The mortgage is not paid, whatever. And you think, Lord, what am I going to do? And so you decide. You've heard this phrase, well, the least we can do is pray. No, that's the most important thing you can do. Amen. You're going to ask Creator of all things to help you?
Amen.
You know? And so you pray. And then, I don't know how this is going to happen. And then the boss calls you in on Friday afternoon to say, look, I know you probably don't want to do this, but I'm wondering if you can work about 4 hours overtime each day next week and we'll pay you double. Double overtime? Wow. God answered prayer. Huh? He answers prayer in mysterious ways. Don't complain until you've talked to him about the problem. Okay, so we call that answered prayer. Desperate times demand desperate actions.
Amen.
It doesn't just call for it, it demands it. Hey, when things get tough, get to praying. I mean, really, really praying. Not now, lay me down to sleep, and by the way, Lord. Not by the way. Don't by the way, God. Okay? Because He has given unto man the ability and the power to talk to God. Don't talk to God. And so, don't complain, don't gripe, don't bad think God, because He hasn't answered prayers that you haven't prayed.
Amen.
So, we pray, you know, considering desperate times, and I've been amazed, I've really been amazed at the prayers that God has answered in the past year. I mean, amazing. It's amazing. And some of them are such overwhelming miracles that it's, you know, it's definitely not just a coincidence. It's a relationship with God, or a reaction with God, our asking. Okay, so we're going to pray about things. Pray about your life. Pray about finances if you have financial problems. Pray about health. You know, the doctor says, well, it looks like this may be cancer. Oh, no. And so you go home and you tell your family, you know, the doctor said he thinks I might have cancer. Well, what are we going to do? Oh, well, I don't know. Well, you know, let's wait a few months and see what happens. Oh, no. You say, well, what's the doctor want to do? He wants to run some more tests next week. Next week, we're going on vacation. You know, no, you're not. You're going to go to the doctor. You're going to get checked out. It's desperate times. Sometimes we have to change our schedules because it's desperate times.
Amen.
Don't wait until desperate times are over because you're going to miss something. Okay? Let me tell you, the devil is a deceiver. Not just with a capital D, but capital every letter. He is a deceiver, and he doesn't want you praying. He doesn't want you to believe in prayer. He wants you just to goof off. Okay? Trust me, he does. Pray about relationships. Pray about relationships. Pray about relationships. Not just yours. You know, I pray about relationships with my family all the time, you know. You know, children, their mates, whatever, grandchildren, you know, and you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever. You know, I pray for them even if they don't want me to, probably. Say, Lord, if that's not the person you want in their life, kick them out. I know my son Randy and then his brother, they picked up on the same thing, you know. Whenever a boy would come around, they'd almost make them scared to date. You know, tell them what time they had to be in, where they could go, where they couldn't go, and what they better not do, and what they better do, and such, you know. And Boy, I tell you, the person they were going to date, you know, probably be scared to even come and pick them up at the door. But, see, we need to pray about relationships. Pray for your family. Pray for people that are having relationship problems, because guess what? God is interested in relationships. He's interested in your health. He's interested in everything that you are interested in, my friend. And, you know, talk about prayer. You ever pray prevention prayers? You need to pray about prevention prayers. Pray that something don't happen. If you're going to have some family, you're going to be hanging around the wrong people, say, Lord, don't let them get mixed up in things that these people are mixed up in. Lord, move them out of that area. You know, pray about prevention things. Are you with me? And consider this. Pray about, you know, we have involuntary prayers. We have involuntary prayers. Okay? Something's about to happen, you know, and Lord, help me! Huh? You know, you push on your brakes and they go all the way to the floor. Not supposed to do that. Not supposed to go to the floor. It's supposed to stop your wheels from turning, first of all. And you push on the brakes and you're going through that stop sign. And you say, Lord, help me, Jesus. You didn't say, well, now, Lord Jesus, I'd really like your attention, please. No. In fact, you probably even leave me out. Lord Jesus. You may even leave the Lord out. Jesus. And while he's there, see, we pray and we need to pray. Now, I want to challenge you something. I want to challenge you to think about your prayers. It's kind of interesting. I saw this, maybe you saw it, where this lady tells her husband, said, honey, would you mind going to the store and getting us a gallon of milk? And if they have avocados, get six. Now, you know, sometimes we don't really pay attention to what we're praying. So the man comes back and he's got 6 gallons of milk. No, that's what she said. Go to the store and get a gallon of milk. If they have avocados, get 6. Do I? So he was paying attention. She wasn't paying attention about what she was asking. Do we pay attention to what we're asking for? Would you go to the store and get a gallon of milk? If they have avocados, get 6. So he brought home 6 gallons of milk, and she thinks he's nuts. It was really the prayer. It was the request that was mixed up. You want God to do something, be concise about it. Okay, now then also, to any of you here that are not God, I would like to encourage you to make a prayer list. You say, I don't need a prayer list. Well, maybe you do. You know, I've heard people say this a lot of times. Well, I don't like preacher so-and-so because he uses notes. Well, that person probably never preached a sermon that they were responsible for. you know, I want to ask you ladies. Okay, now men, don't even look at them. Ladies, have you ever sent your husband to the store with a grocery list and he didn't get it right? Raise your hand. Okay. With a list they didn't get it right? You got to be kidding. And you expect the preacher to preach for 30 minutes or so and remembers everything? Oh, yeah, but you know the difference? What he's going to say is supposed to be anointed, and what you sent him to the store for wasn't anointed. Now, that doesn't work. Okay. I mean, it really doesn't, but it's, well, you know what? If the Holy Ghost was on him, he wouldn't need those notes. I want to tell you what. If I were to preach only by the Holy Ghost, you would miss lunch.
Amen.
Okay. Because someplace in my notes, I've got something there. Let me know. Shut up. Okay. That's enough. Okay. You're not going to teach them everything in one day. Okay. So make a prayer list. Make a prayer list. You might think you're spiritual enough that you don't need a prayer list. And some of you can't even keep your kids straight. Billy, come here. And I mean right now. Mommy, I'm not Billy. Oh, okay, Don. Okay, I'm sorry. But come here anyhow. I know I got more than one spanking from my dad, and he called me one of my brother's names. And I didn't think that was fair. And whenever I would tell him, I've already said, well, you got by with too many, and so this won't hurt. I mean, I'm close by. Take a couple of whacks. That's okay. Understand. See, we think we'll remember things. No. For somebody that can't remember the names of their children or grandchildren, some people can't remember the name of their children and only got one. I know that. I want to tell you what. Men and women that have anniversaries, often they don't both know the same anniversary date. Oh, no, they don't. They don't. I tell you what, I filled out too many of the calendar things, you know, and look at the paper they fill out, you know, and the men and women, they have different dates. Really? Now, I don't say anything to the lady about it because you're going to get the man in trouble. But I want to tell you what, it's the women that get the date wrong most of the time. Seriously. Seriously. Probably what happened is they're just enjoying life so much, you know, that the time gets away from them or something like that. Okay, but anyhow, if you can't remember your anniversary date, if you can't remember your kids' names, don't expect that you're going to remember all your prayer requests. Okay? I hope. Say, well, I only pray for two people. You need a little longer list, okay? Because we are to pray for all saints with all prayer and supplication and perseverance. We can't make prayer an afterthought, folks. Things are not happening so many times because we do not pray. Amen. We're not really praying and asking God to do particular things. So I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to pray with a clarity. Don't bring home 6 gallons of milk when she was wanting 6 avocados. Okay, don't expect God to answer prayers you don't get plain. Okay, because if you don't, you're going to think it's coincidence. But when you pray specifically, amen, you'll know it's God. Yes. And prayer moves God.
Yes, it does.
It took Adam's kids and grandkids over 200 years to call upon Jehovah. We need to call upon God. We need to call upon God. Don't make prayer an afterthought, friend. Don't throw it in at the end of the day that's the only time you pray. Prayer for a Christian should be the most important thing in their lives. Is prayer. You study the description, you'll find prayer after prayer after prayer. Okay? So, Brother Mark has mentioned many times about what we do while we're waiting. We're going to pray. And you're going to pray with a seriousness. Make you a prayer list. Prayer, Paul often says, I pray for you all. Sometimes he said, I make mention of your name.
Yes.
But he prayed for them. You know what? If you mention, for instance, Brother Jones' name, and there's something God wants you to really pray about, and you're just mentioning his name, God can bring something to your mind. Okay? God wants to talk to you, my friend. And we have not because we ask not. Jesus, it says, gave a parable to teach them that men ought to always pray. men ought to pray. He tries to tell them, we ought to pray. Like the woman goes before the judge. You got to pray, got to pray, got to pray, got to pray, got to pray. And sometimes, friend, I tell you, as you pray, God will show you things. You know, and make a list. Please, please, make you a prayer list. Okay? And, you know, Jesus said, he warned the Pharisees about praying with repetition. Repetition is the same thing over, you know. It's kind of like counting beads, you know, you can do that, you know, you don't have to think about it. But don't fall into that trap. Also, don't fall into the trap of guilt and condemnation from the devil. Okay? Jesus taught us how to pray and said, pray after this manner. Okay? The Lord's Prayer and such. So pray. Make you a prayer list and pray. And don't be afraid to add to it. Add to that prayer list. And, you know, this, you think you'll remember, but you won't. But you know, the anointing is not, well, I'm just going to let God lead me on how to pray. Well, He's going to do that if you just listen for a while.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Sometimes He'll show you how to pray for somebody you don't even know.
Right.
Okay? But if we will pray, it will tune us into the right station, so to speak. Our receiver will start getting better reception from heaven. Because we pray. There is nothing impossible with God.
Amen.
No, nothing. Nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
Nothing is impossible with God. You know, sometimes God uses this phrase, you ask a hard thing. If it's hard for God, but there's nothing impossible with God. And we need to pray, folks. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for one another. So what are we going to do while we're waiting for God to do something else? We're going to do what the early church did. It wasn't coincidence that Jesus told the disciples, go to the upper room and wait. You know what they did? They prayed. They prayed. And so while you're waiting for something else to happen, pray. All right? First of all, pray for your family, your loved ones. Okay? Husbands, it is direction from Holy Ghost God. It says for you to pray for your wives and your children, to pray for them.
Yes.
And wives, God tells us to pray for your husbands, for your family. Pray for them.
Yes.
Okay? And on He tells us to pray. I'd like for you to stand together. Thank you for your patience. And those who are streaming, you pray for us. We pray for you. I want to encourage you to get yourself in church. Okay? Get yourself in church. You need to be in the fellowship of the Word, in the fellowship of the Spirit, fellowship with saints. You need it desperately. Mother-daughter banquet, Thursday evening. You need to be there, ladies. And come and be a part of it. Bring someone with you. Sign up sheet out there. If you forget it, call. Let us know. You can call Brother Mark. You can call me, 686-8000. And if you don't get me, leave a message because I don't have cell service. I have AT&T. But if you'll call me and leave a message, okay, I'll put it down. I promise you. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You so much for Your Word, Your grace, Your Spirit, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that You would move upon the hearts of each of these that are here today. Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want our worship team just to quietly come up. And I want you this morning to think right now, before they start playing a song, I want you to think about what you're going to do if what we have said this morning is true, that you need to pray more. What are you going to do about it? What plans are you going to make to pray more? And it would be wise for you to get a prayer partner that will encourage you to pray. Okay? And hold you accountable to prayer. But important thing is that you would pray. You would make arrangements to. And if you get a prayer partner, get someone that is convenient for you, maybe in your own household, if possible at all, and hold one another accountable, so to speak, not judging them, but by encouraging and edifying them. But I want you, as our worship team leads us in a song, that you would make some plans for praying more. And if there's anything else that you would like for him to do, I want to encourage you to come down to this altar. You can stand here, you can kneel, but I want you to make a move. And I want you to just present yourself to the Lord and present your petitions, your supplications to him. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship team, thank you. Hallelujah. If you'd like to come down, come down. But talk to him before you walk out, okay?